You're listening to Conversations That Matter with your host, Terry Conrad.
Hi, everyone. This is Terry Conrad. I am in the Napa Valley doing Conversations That Matter with my very, very good friend, probably my best friend, Laura Monroe. We just came off of Inman Connect, which was, I don't even know how many Inman Connects I've been to now, but every time I go, it's an amazing experience. All this information coming at you. But really, for me at this point, it's about the relationships. And we have so many friends in common, and we do so much. And Laura, of course, is the social media director, director of engagement now, actually. You've changed your title. Let me introduce yourself. Do that.
I am the Director of Industry Engagement and Social Media for Inman News. And yes, we just finished Inman Real Estate Connect in San Francisco. So we decided to take our little weekend together because we haven't been able to do that in a while.
Because she's way too busy now.
And come to Napa, one of our favorite places, and have some wine.
Yes, so we are sitting at Laura's very favorite winery, which is, where are we again?
Rombauer Vineyard.
Yeah.
So famous for its Chardonnay and its Zinfandel.
So we now have a Chardonnay.
Yes.
So there's a few things. When we get together, we always have these amazing conversations.
Yeah, and that's we've already had like 10 of them.
Like 30
already.
Of them, I know. Yeah, it's like, what? How do we even remember what we want to talk about? There was a few things that really stand out for me. And one of them was... I don't even know where to start. We started with, back in the day, you and I were talking about building a program for agents because we saw that there was a struggle. There was this overwhelm and there was all this technology coming at them and social media was coming at them and it was just like everybody was going a little bit nuts.
Right.
And you and I both sort of bled for the new agent because why don't you share with the audience, if they don't know you, what your history was before you joined Inman?
Well, before I joined Inman, I had my own consulting firm as a real estate virtual assistant, helping agents and brokers with their businesses. So a lot of it had to do with digital marketing strategies, it had to do with social media, had to do with building websites, had to do with content strategy. You know, really, we both came from a place of wanting to help. Mm-hmm. Assist and be able to put plans together for agents and brokers to be able to help navigate. I think one of the challenges as an entrepreneur is that it's difficult to navigate while you're working at the same time, like continue to navigate where you want to go while you're actually doing it at the same time and not knowing where to go to get all of your resources.
Well, the problem is, like what I've experienced is usually you're either working in the business or you're working
Absolutely.
On the business. And what happens typically, and especially I think agents do really struggle with scaling their business because they get to the point where they're like, everything's coming in, they got all these leads, and so they're taking all these listing agreements or their buyers out or whatever they're doing. And so they're busy, you know, working. Right. And so the sales funnel sort of gets left over here, and then everything sort of dies down, and then it's like that wave that we've talked about many times before where it's like you're hot, business is crazy, and then there's this downtime. And we had someone in one of the panel discussions sort of step up and say, gee whiz, what do I do? I had a hot year last year, but I like right now things are down. You know, so what do you advise?
Well, you know, I think one of the challenges that we have is that we're conditioned now because of social media and technology and how fast it comes at us that we always have to be in motion. We always have to be planning something new. We're always chasing the next big thing for our business, the shiny tool, the next technology. And more than that, we're even chasing the people that we feel like we need to align with to make our business more prominent in the industry, to be noticed more.
Mm.
So we're even focusing on working on those relationships in a way that's strategic. And I think that what we really need to do is be able to, and we're chasing answering our phone calls, our lead phone calls within 5 minutes. We need to be there for the consumer. We need to be there to take the next Instagram picture, you know, so that we get that out on social media. So there's this momentum that we are constantly feeling like we need to be in. And what we're not doing is stepping back and taking a moment to think about what we're actually learning, where we actually need to focus on our business. And more than anything, having self-awareness about ourselves so that we can filter away the things that are not our strengths, the things that are our weaknesses and really focus on the things that make us stronger. And sometimes that's not chasing momentum. Sometimes that's actually the critical thinking that goes behind,
which
you know,
is
doing
so
all that.
Challenging because mm-hmm. we live in, and I talk about this all the time, we live in this sort of outcome focused, you know, are you producing, like, what are you doing? Action, 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 and measure and metrics and analytics. And, you know, it just goes on and on
it
and
does.
On. And there's so much pressure to live up to the expectation. And by the way, I really feel like, you know, everyone's like, well, what is she doing? What are you doing? Like, you know, mm-hmm. you've been quiet. So clearly nothing's going on for you. And there's this like, it's
we
very
measure.
Difficult to be
it
quiet
is.
For
it
a
is.
While because people do, they judge you when you like sort of go inside for a while. But I agree with you. It's like, let's get quiet for a while. It's really, because you know,
well, I think when you get to a point where you have to worry about what people will think, if you're taking a sabbatical from social media or you're taking a sabbatical from technology, I think that people assume that either number one, that you're not relevant, or number two, that, you know, you're not doing anything. But I think those are the times that we really need to give ourselves permission to take sabbaticals, and not just for vacation, but for actually reconnecting with your own business. And if you're not connected to yourself in your business, then you're not really actually creating the best things for your business.
So I love this. I mean, it sort of segues into sort of that proactive versus reactive
Absolutely.
Conversation when, you know, you have a moment. So like, for instance, everyone who was just at Connect had all kinds of
stuff
information thrown at them. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting to me is, you know, we hear it from certain people or we see it written in print and we accept it as gospel. And the truth is, to cut people a break, that's because we live in a very crazy, noisy world where there's always stuff that you've got to filter through. And to be perfectly frank, we need people to say what you need to do because I don't have time to go and figure all that out. And so, you know, you kind of feel for people who are stressed out and overwhelmed. But at the same time, I mean, I completely agree with you when you talk about, you know, do you even know what you even think?
Right.
Like, do you even know what you think?
Well, and I think that, you know, some of the challenges that come out of, you know, being fed a lot of information all at one time from a lot of people is that, you know, real estate is a very hyper-local, specific success stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who have success stories in Omaha, Nebraska may not work well in California. And there's a lot of conversations that don't happen that say, I may be very successful with this Facebook page because of all of these other things that you're doing behind the scenes that you're not necessarily speaking of. So there's a lot of nuances that are missed in big conferences. But so you have a more difficult time comparing your business to someone else's business who may be, you know, let's say like we're using video marketing as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to look at someone who does an amazing job with video marketing and you're going to go back and say, but wait a minute, the price points on my homes that
doesn't
I sell
sense.
Are $40,000 as opposed to someone who is selling a $3 million home.
Right.
You're not going to have the budget. So these are the things that lead to those areas of feelings of inadequacy, feelings of I'm not such a good real estate agent if I'm not doing A, B, or C.
Right.
And I think that that's
that conversation around success.
Yeah.
That I like to have.
Yeah. The values is what is your value?
Well, and how do you define success?
Right.
Because by the way, you were only as successful as happy as you are.
Right.
I think so. When you spend all your...
And I think that most real estate agents and brokers come from a place of really wanting to help their clients and their buyers
Agreed.
And sellers
Yes.
find a home. So
mm-hmm.
I think we're all kind of coming from the same place of really being people
mm-hmm.
And wanting to please everybody. And I don't think it escapes this industry that the reason why we're so active on things like social media and wanting the best technology is to have better relationships
Right.
and to do better, get better referrals, get more referrals. But again, I think that we also have to give ourselves permission to spend as much time. If we spend as much time working on ourselves as we spend on social media, focusing on what everyone else is doing, the landscape would change.
Right. So that's where I come back to. I actually feel for people because real estate can be a very lonely, isolating
mm-hmm.
existence. As you know, you were an entrepreneur working from your own home. And that's why I think social was so incredible for us because it was allowing
us
to connect with other
mm-hmm.
people who thought like us and we could share ideas and business strategies and everything else. But I do feel like, you know, When you're so stuck in your forest that you can't see the trees,
right?
We're looking to other people to sort of give us examples. And really, the big piece is, and I hate talking about it because it sounds so airy hairy, but inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so we look to someone like a Raj Kassar to show us the magic of video marketing and how fabulous it can mm-hmm. actually be, or Room, and of course, knowing that, like, in your market or in my market, something like that is never going to fly, save the odd property that would warrant that sort of right. an investment. But the truth is that the average day-to-day business that you're operating was never going to be at that level. So where I get excited, though, and I think that, and I think that people get sidetracked, is that there is no one way.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right. Well, and I think that one of the things that you and I were passionate about when we started working on and collaborating on our Dare You project
right.
was that we really wanted people to be able to identify and clarify what their value system was
yes.
and that where their center was, so that
and
they
why?
Could work from, so that what they were measuring was actually aligned with who they were.
And is that, do you think, because I feel like some people think that's really airy-fairy.
I know.
But I truly, so I heard on a panel this week at Connect, Sarah Jones, and she talked, so she runs a brokerage out of, I believe it's Texas.
It's Texas, Houston, Texas.
And she was
Bamboo Realty, by the way.
So hands down, probably my most favorite speaker of the entire week. And what I truly loved about her was, A, how grounded and obviously just a real person she seems to be,
mm-hmm.
but also her strong handle on the importance of culture
mm-hmm.
and articulated in a business fashion.
Right.
So that we're talking, like, everybody's ROI, ROI, and it's like, yes, I know, we're in business to make money. I'm aware of that. But at the same time, that's, to me, there's a very short-term vision and then there's a long-term vision. And are you taking that 10,000-foot view and really looking to build something that is enduring and where your people have some buy-in? And I know I have a client right now who's trying to structure some internal culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can say the word culture, which is one thing, but actually creating culture is a very, very different thing. And then equating the value and the financial ROI mm-hmm. from creating that internal value is a very difficult thing to track and measure. And I find this subject so, like, I always talk about the magic being all the things that happen in between the things you can actually measure.
Mm-hmm.
You know this.
Yep.
And when she was talking, and this is what I love, like, you know, especially when we talk about women, you know, leaning in and taking ownership at the table, at the conference table, and, you know, how do we balance our lives but still be seen as credible contributors
right.
to the business world? This is something that I think actually there's sort of a feminine consciousness that plays in here
right.
that I think is powerful.
Yeah.
And not to be poo-pooed and not to be, you know, sort of patted on the head, okay, girls, go braid your hair. It's not about that. It's really about we have these companies who are missing the core component. So I'm so sorry I'm rambling on, but I'm gonna bring you a question in 1 second. I see companies operating from a, you know, acquisition and retention proposition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the two, and we know this from every company that retention is far cheaper than acquisition. So why do you think that more people in real estate at the corporate level are not spending more time and energy
mm-hmm.
at the retention piece of the pie, which is typically around that culture piece?
Well, this is what I think. I think that one of the things we don't place a lot of attention on is that real estate, people that are in real estate are people. But what we don't focus on is the internal people that we work with. So let's think about this for a minute. We talk about consumers, mm-hmm. we talk about clients, we talk about vendors, we talk about title, we talk about, you know, the people that are our strategic partners.
Right.
How often do we hear conversations about the people that we work with every day? My broker, another agent in my office, my assistant, my team member. Very rarely do we have conversations about the internal structure of those relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they're not the hot topic. They're not the hot, sexy topic. But really, in a day-to-day world, those are the people that we are receiving a lot of our inspiration from.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're receiving a lot of friction from.
Right.
It could go both ways.
Actually, Teams is like a hot topic.
And Teams is a very hot topic. Yeah. So for those brokers and those people who understand that on a day-to-day basis, the people that we are working with are the people within that internal structure, if we can't identify and rally around a culture so that we're all inspired, so that we're all educated, so that we're all working toward a vision, just the day-to-day transactions and the day-to-day commission check is not something that's terribly fulfilling.
Right.
We can all sit back and say that what we do for our clients is fulfilling, and what we do for our families is fulfilling. But if we could sit back at the end of the day and say, I really did an amazing job helping out my assistant today, or my assistant did an amazing job helping me out today, then we would start building a culture from within instead of trying to create something outside that gives us people an impression of what our brand is, and then working from the outside in. We all need to work from the outside out.
So, we all talk about Simon Sinek to death.
Right.
Start with your why. But he speaks to this very specifically when he says, instead of talking about what you do, talk about what you believe.
Right.
And when, and for, and just even saying just that, don't you feel like sort of a shift?
Absolutely.
Emotionally. And like, imagine, like, I look at team building and like people struggle with this. Like, and the truth is there's all this talk and education around the new tools, right? Tech and tools, social media. And lovely, love them, need them, we all want to know, but at the same time, what I think the typical agent really wants to know is how do I scale my business? I am one person doing all of these things. I'm the accountant, the marketer, the, you know, the salesperson, the customer service, like everything. How, and then, you know, you, and you want it, you bring it, you're like, you're inviting all this business in, and then it comes like a wave and you're like, oh my God, how do I now manage it all? Mm-hmm. And you're working well into the night, and your family life
working
and all of your life balance gets thrown out
everywhere else. Well, and right. You know, it's a challenge. It's really a challenge. So that's where I'm saying that if you have, you know, on my panel at Connect, Heather Elias said an amazing thing when we were talking about setting boundaries. Not only do you have to have boundaries, not only do you have to set boundaries, brokers need to give agents the permission to set boundaries within their businesses, I think.
Yes.
But I think that as agents, as independent contractors and entrepreneurs of their own, it's okay for us as an industry to say, set your own boundaries, make your own business. I mean, I know that one of the things at Inman that we love is we love innovators and we love people even outside the industry. We love the startups. We love the technology. We love the scrappiness of starting something new and having it evolve into something
too.
That you love.
Absolutely.
But again, I think that one of the things that's missing is that, you know, there's a, we've seen a big communication gap between franchise to broker to agent. And there's a support system that is lacking most of the time. We have agents that, you know, kind of, you know, express frustration in not having the training and the tools. But what I hear is from agents is, I don't want to be a tool for my brokerage.
Correct.
I don't want my brokerage to see me as the number of my sales per quarter. I want to be recognized for the values that I have as a person, the values that I bring to my clients, and the person that I actually am. And I think if brokers can make that connection, and I think culture is the way to make that connection, you empower your agents to do amazing things. And if you can provide structure in that value and in that way of communicating to your agents that you're not a tool, you're not the technology, you are the one that brings us our business, but the reason why you do is because of who you are.
Yes.
On an individual level. And I think that any brokerage that can do that and then turn around and bake that into their brand as a brokerage and actually showcase and really showcase the importance of those value systems and their agents. And I have some that are right on the top of my head, but
like who?
Well, you know, I think of Go Realty. I think of Zach Shabbat in North Carolina. You know, he really has, I mean, he has a communication form when he is trying to recruit new agents into, there's a very specific set of words and language and a communication style that's very, very specific.
So a brokerage like that is actually progressively trying to attract the kind of agent that is going to fit his culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which so many do not.
Right.
Most,
so
I would say.
If a brokerage has a defined value system and a very defined culture, they know what type of client, what type of agents they want to bring in. And they have he has a very specific way of communicating, which he has shared very openly. But you can't walk into a company like that as a new agent without being excited about the direction that you as a person are going.
So, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. I want to believe it really, really badly. Mm-hmm. But now I'm a brokerage, let's pretend, and I have bills to pay. And, you know, I've lost a couple of agents for whatever reason. Maybe mm-hmm. the market was shit and they just all left, whatever it was.
Right.
And now I've got, you know, I need those fees to keep the brokerage
right.
going. We are in this business to make
right.
money.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you stand by your values and your mission and your cultural, statement?
Mm-hmm.
How do you stand by that and continue to, like, we talk the big game, right? At the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, I think it's a real challenge, and especially when it's shifted so much, and everyone's trying so hard to differentiate and establish their own brands, and it's so disconnected. Like you said, there's the association level and the brokerage level and the agent level and the vendor level. Like, there's all these different players in the game,
mm-hmm.
and everyone needs to make a living. I mean, I'm going in 1,000 directions. Let me try and bring it back to this. I'm a brand girl. You're
mm-hmm.
a brand girl. We love looking at brands that really have identified their core values, are very, very clear. Clarity
right.
being
right.
a big piece of the puzzle. But the challenge, I've seen this at Connect every year, where brokers talk to brokers. And they all sit there and nod their heads and agree and kumbaya
right.
over, well, yeah, but the agents don't really understand. And then agents over here are going, yeah, but the brokers don't really understand. Here's what we've been told we gotta do.
Right.
And so how do we bridge that? Like, I feel like we're going towards the same place,
mm-hmm.
but there's something missing. Like, there's a disconnect. And I can't quite figure out. I mean, I guess if the brokerage is saying, hey, you, come and pay your desk fees, and you're lucky to have my little logo as part of your
right.
proposition value
right.
statement. And it's like, well, yeah, that's lovely, but you've told me to go out there and build my own business, and really, I get nothing for support.
Right.
Or next to nothing. I appreciate that it's a challenge. If I were a broker, I'm not quite sure what I would do.
Right.
But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that, don't you think?
Well, it is, but there's power in... There's power in inspiring numbers, and I don't think it's a stretch for brokers to understand that when you can inspire all of your agents, you're going to get more productivity out of them rather than just hoping that the top producers that feel inspired by their own business success are the ones that are bringing in the dollars. And I think that a lot of that is, number one, agents are free to choose who they align themselves with and where they hang that license.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage any agent that is choosing a new place or deciding where to go. And that I hear these stories all the time that, you know, I switched brokerages because
mm-hmm.
I needed to find someone that was more aligned with my values. So that's a personal... To me, that's a personal responsibility as an entrepreneur and an independent contractor that you find someone that's going to support your values.
Yeah, but hold on a cotton pick a minute
mm-hmm.
here, because your opportunities are only as great as
your
what
market.
Is being offered
Absolutely.
In your market.
Absolutely.
I mean, unless you completely
Which is
out.
Why we've seen a lot of agents actually open their own brokerages, move into being boutique brokerages.
Indeed.
And, you know, I would say that that's even a bigger thing. Or they move into an agent team
mm-hmm.
where they can be under mentorship. And other support in a smaller environment. So that's why we're seeing these greater nuances and these different business models change and innovate, because
mm-hmm.
people are not happy. I mean, I even had a conversation at Connect where it's like, I was with a big franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I learned all I needed to learn. I had top producers that were mentors. And then I sat back and said, why can't I do this myself when I'm the one that can collect my commission 100%, mm-hmm. I can go out and I have better marketing skills, I have better technology skills, and mm-hmm. I can actually create what it is I want to create.
But I want to totally switch gears now, and I really want to dig into Laura the person, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't know you the way that I know you, and I want them to, because you are right. such an amazing, extraordinary businesswoman.
Thank you.
I've known you for years, of course. She actually built my first website, which is going back a ways now. And she actually laughed earlier today because I was like having some tech issues that Michael Thorne was helping me with. She's like, "Oh my God,
going yeah, there." With you.
Yeah. She remembers how dramatic that was.
I was having post-traumatic yes. stress.
Sorry about that. But to the point, which is you are this amazing, dynamic woman who has like all these different levels that I really think it's important that people know this about you. Let's start with, you know, you're this amazing mom. Her kids are amazing.
Thank you.
Why don't you talk about Brynn and Natalie for a sec?
Well, most people are shocked to find out that I have a 19-year-old son yeah. and that I have a 14-year-old daughter.
You're not that young looking.
No, well, not anymore. Right? I'm
yeah.
just like, I'm so
cute. Yeah, you're so cute.
So young.
Yeah.
I have a son that is a football player. And I always start by saying he's a football player because people identify with that fairly quickly. He is a full ride scholarship to San Jose State. He's a running back. His second game this year, he's going to be playing in Alabama. So we're really anticipating like a big season with him.
I feel like I need to interject just slightly because as a girl from Canada, watching the Brandon journey has been super exciting for me.
Junior high school.
It's like total Friday Night Lights experience. Yeah. And it's like this American football thing is so different than it is in Canada.
Right.
And the truth is like watching him become this rising star and getting all this press. He gets huge press. People are like, you got to watch this player. He's an up and comer.
Yeah.
And watching you share the story of his...
Well, you know, I'm his mom. I think of him as my little boy, and I think of him as the little tyke that got his little cars, Hot Wheel cars, and the little boy.
Yeah, but he's so.
So cool. You know, obviously, any parent would be absolutely thrilled to death to see their children achieve their dreams, and I think that's really kind of the most important thing.
And where is he playing?
So he's at San Jose State University in San Jose, full ride.
And you need to watch this guy, because I'm telling you guys, he's going to be an NFLer, and I'm going to be like, I know
well,
that guy.
We hope. You never know. I mean, college is a whole new experience. We just say, you know what, focus on the education, focus on having fun, and what comes.
Nice.
You know, we're big believers in, you know, what you put out there, you'll get back in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes life is difficult, and there's a difficult transition. I mean, the chances of going from college football into, you know, NFL is not a big odd.
And the truth is, though, don't you believe on some level that it's less about, you know, how, I mean, obviously hard work,
yes.
determination,
yeah.
which I know that Brandon has all of those qualities, but a lot of it is life has a certain agenda for you, and
absolutely.
There's different lessons you got to learn along the
absolutely.
Way, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to see him go through a lot of the challenges with college, we get to see where he's having those challenges. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be there to support that. And kind of talk him down, and you know, you go from being a high school football star to going into college where you have to start completely over. There's always a challenge, and then you add school and you add college
right.
and real life and moving into an apartment and living with people that you may or may not like. You know, there's all of these life challenges, but you know, we're proud of the fact that he's been stayed very grounded, stayed very humble.
Very grounded.
He loves it when he comes home, and I just love it when he comes home to visit. And then my 14-year-old Natalie is, she's like a stark opposite of
yeah.
her brother, and
mm-hmm.
she is very determined to be a very stark opposite of her brother.
yeah.
You know, she's sarcastic and she's so smart. She just blows me away with her intelligence and her drive, and she loves video editing, and she loves doing like what we're doing right now, which
is
video production. And
I need her at home with me, actually.
Yeah. You probably do.
I do.
I mean, she would absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So she, even at this early age, is very much, you know, I feel like she's very much a leader, still trying to find her niche, but yeah. I mean,
14. Give her a minute, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Give her a minute.
Yeah.
Give her till 16, maybe.
I think it's important to share that part of you, because mm-hmm. it is a testament to the amazing person that you are and the amazing mom that you
Thank
are.
You.
And I love your kids. I think they're
yeah,
truly
they
awesome.
They love you.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
awesome. So So then there's, so that's one piece of the Laura Monroe puzzle. Mm-hmm. Then there's this like savvy businesswoman who, by the way, started off as an actress.
Oh God.
Really, we're gonna go there.
We're going there. Yeah.
Oh crap.
We've got one, so we can.
Oh, yeah. It was the typical cliche, you know, actress in LA / waitress. You know, I started off in theater. I mean, that was my passion, starting off in theater. I never wanted to do film, TV, commercials, anything like make money. I never really wanted to make money. I really just wanted to be, you know, on the stage. And in fact, I didn't even really want to be on the stage. I really just wanted to be in the theatrical environment. I wanted to be either hanging lights, you know, painting sets, on the stage, directing. I really wanted to do a little bit of everything. And if I could make some kind of career out of that, it would have been amazing. I was a Juilliard wannabe. I was a, like, you know, American Academy of Dramatic Arts wannabe. You know, and I actually, for a moment, you know, if, you know, I actually, well, and this is kind of a good segue into values, because I loved theater so much because it was focused on the art. It was focused on the people and it was focused on the craft. Mm-hmm. When I made the segue into commercials and television, it suddenly became about making money. Mm-hmm. And it suddenly became about, are you a product that's marketable? It suddenly became about, you know, all of these other high profile, are you the right fit? Are you, you know, are you an A, B, or C level, you know, talent? And, you know, that was completely juxtaposed to the people and the power and the passion and the stories that were behind theater. And I actually exited the industry once I entered into commercials and film and TV. And not so much because I was a, I don't want to say because I failed at it. It was just that I got to a certain level where I was exposed to a part of the industry that I realized was not part of my value system. And I chose a different path. Mm-hmm. So, you know, long story short, it was, I, right now in my mind, I'm thinking of some of the amazing stories that I have, that I will not bore you with, but I'm that typical person that's like, oh, I have a story to tell you and I could go on and on and on about it, but I won't. Yeah. There are people that I know and I'm thinking of one right now who's going to say, oh God, we need to hear that again. And I will be that older person that's like, have I told you this story?
Yes, you have.
And I'll just like, oh, it's only the 10th time, but yeah, I'll tell you again. So I have my memories, you know, and I have my,
well, I have
the
say,
people that I met.
I've said this, I've tagged pictures of you, Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, holy crap.
Yeah, that's what you
think.
You look exactly like her.
Back in the day, it was a lot. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I think we do have to sort of address while we're here in this fun place. Laura Monroe has her own, Laura Monroe's hair has her own Twitter profile. That is I will include that somewhere so that everyone can go and enjoy, Tara Nicholson's. Tara Christensen's,
yeah,
incredible.
It was created by a friend of mine who, well, okay, the actual story is that Brian Copeland, who's a very dear friend of mine, was speaking at one of our events. With Inman, and he had done a very touching presentation, and his segue into introducing me into coming on stage, and I was the next presenter, was just, you know, I'd like to introduce Laura Monroe, who's not only blah, 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 but she also has the best hair in the real estate industry. So as we have our ambassadors that are sitting there tweeting the tweetables, that was a tweetable. And before you know it, you know, the best hair in the real estate industry kind of came into fruition. Since then, it has its own Twitter profile, which
right.
doesn't, I don't do the tweets myself, but I have a brilliantly hysterical, clever friend who does.
Which will put you in stitches. And yeah, and so all the ambassadors were enjoying incredibly entertaining.
And as was I.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Anyway, so we won't bore everyone. We think it's funny.
Well, you got to see the Twitter handle. So @besthairinre.
@besthairinre. Twitter handle. Follow that and have a good chuckle.
I'm chuckling right along with you.
That's so fun. And meanwhile, we're sitting here at the winery in Napa.
Enjoying our wine,
having our very real sister moment. And Guy Kawasaki tweets her, just saying.
Yeah, so one of the really surprise fun moments with Connect was that
one of our keynote speakers, Guy Kawasaki, who everybody knows from the Holy Cow publication, and you know, formerly of Apple, and now with Canva, which is one of our favorite design
Canva.
Tools yeah. to use for our content marketing, was actually at Connect, and we had a really great chat. And you know, we're doing some exciting things with Canva. Inman and Canva are going to kind of get together and do some pretty fun things to provide some resources for the real estate industry.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, but being able to kind of, you know, plan that and collaborate with, you know, Guy Kawasaki and kind of, you know, do some things is, you know, gosh, it's like a pinch me moment. It's like, it's one of those things that I really love. You know, and we started talking today when we were driving up here that, you know, I think one of my passions is, you know, really being able to do some business development and explore where other companies are looking to go strategically.
Right.
So,
by the way, let's just like bookmark that for 1 second mm-hmm. and back up, because so your title is actually like, I think everyone equates you with sort of social media
mm-hmm.
and really you are
not, that's like,
that
the,
is,
that's
that
the
is like down
part.
There. Like
that's
you are business, you are strategy, you are so much more than that. And mm-hmm. I would love to sort of dig into that a little bit. And you were about to go down that road. So why don't you carry on?
Well, and what I was going to say was, you know, one of the things that I've really realized my passion is that, you know, every business, it doesn't matter how big of a brand. I mean, when we were talking, you know, I was thinking about the main companies that I'm really working on some business development issues with, and that's not issues, but fun, new collaborative
projects.
Directions and projects. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of Better Homes and Gardens. I think of Evernote. I think of Canva. I think of these opportunities that come my way, and I'm so blessed to have them. But, you know, when I can be having conversations every day with team members that are working towards reaching new goals with their companies, and where we can actually get together and do something better for the industry, that is something that really thrills me. You know, I could talk social media all day and talk relationships that we build. You know, our relationship started through social media. Mm-hmm. Some of my best friends are through social media. But I think that my journey from being an entrepreneur working by myself to being someone that's lucky enough to be in a media publishing company that provides a platform mm-hmm. for technologists, individuals, entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. Brands, franchises,
right.
brokerages, CEOs. You know, this is something that I've just been like, wow, holy cow. You know, yeah. I've had my own moments yeah. where I'm like, I so appreciate every individual that works for a big brand.
Yeah.
And when you sit back and realize how many, I mean, it takes a village. It takes a village to build a brand. It doesn't matter if you're starting by yourself. It doesn't matter if you're launching one product or 10, or if you're launching a new brand. But when every day I'm exposed to new companies that, or even older companies, like for example, even at Connect, you know, ERA Real Estate just launched a completely new redesign mm-hmm. of their brand. Mm-hmm. They're moving forward and innovating what they're doing within, and that changes their culture.
Mm-hmm.
For me to be able to look at that from like a big brand, to then be able to juxtapose that to a smaller brand, to then on an individual level of a brokerage level or an agent level. This is where I really just, I get chills, because to me, the human stories that happen in between all of these little conversations and, you know, the conversations that need to happen to move people forward to the next level, is something that I if I'm a part of it, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dynamics of sitting with someone face to face and asking them what their goals are and where they want to go and what are you trying to accomplish, is really exciting, and
which is really not social. So here's where I mean,
it's not social.
It's not social media at all.
No.
That face to face, sitting down, these moments mm-hmm. that we get to have face to face in real life, and which is, by the way, why I go to Connect.
Right.
Like
right.
I go to Connect because I'm there to see my people
mm-hmm.
and to have these sorts of conversations that we find so enriching.
Right.
And discover new ways to think and approach
right.
different problems.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, and I think that there's a misconception sometimes that, you know, Real Estate Connect is another real estate conference, or maybe it's a technology conference.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it is it's Brad Inman's vision from day one, which is, I just want to connect you with you. Mm-hmm. I want to connect you with the right thing for your business. Mm-hmm. And Inman News is a platform not only for us to have open conversations with that, but it's a platform, it's an agnostic platform in terms of, you know, we're not brokerage specific, we're not brand specific, we are not technology specific. We welcome everyone, and we want it because we realize the nuances behind all of the different layers of real estate, that it's almost overwhelming for us sometimes to be able to, you know, communicate in through articles and through journalism and through our events that, you know, there's so many nuances to connecting, iterating, innovating, and moving things forward.
Right.
And if we can provide a platform and an opportunity for people to do that, that's
funny.
It's funny
that you brought that up because there was a discussion in LobbyCon at some point where, you know, some of us who've been to many of these conferences before, we struggle to find sort of, you know, new takeaways, right?
Right.
Like
right.
Much of the content is very repeated or, you know, it's all tech or app or whatever it might be. And so we're just like, well, you know, we're not sure about the content. But the truth is it's never really about the content. The conference itself is sort of the structure and the glue. It's the reason you're there.
Right.
But where the real value comes is in the connections and the conversations that you have sitting in that lobby and creating new opportunities and new relationships.
Or even at a party.
Oh, the parties.
You know,
well, we love the parties. But, and the karaoke. but the truth is that, you know, when you develop your relationships and create your sort of your tribe, you know, like, I mean, I can honestly say I don't know everything.
Right. Neither do I.
But I can guarantee you that whatever you need to know, I know someone who has the answer.
Who probably has the answer.
Guaranteed. And by
Absolutely.
The way, I think that's extraordinary value. And that comes not from my online relationships. It comes from my offline relationships. But probably many of those offline relationships started online.
Well, that's the thing. So here's the thing. The thing that's unique about like what I get to do is that, you know, I get to be involved in social media, but the real fulfillment, and I even said to our group of ambassadors today, you know, the real fun for me is when I get to go bring a group of people together. We have a community, we have a bond, but then immediately when we get on site in real life, they go off and they create their own relationships, their own connections, you know, and they do it in very different ways. But we're also bringing together different skill sets and different backgrounds and different stories. And so, you know, the really fun thing for me is not so much, you know, being able to tweet and Instagram and photograph and do all these different things,
nice.
But it's seeing what they do with that power, seeing what they do with that sense of community. And when we were talking culture earlier, again, it's about building that culture. And when you have culture within a brokerage, within a franchise, within yourself, you can still have culture even if you work by yourself.
Right.
There is a power that comes out of that when you're building your brand.
Okay, so I'm going in a couple different directions right now. One is, as I've developed my new brand, which is, by the way, hella more than a logo and a tagline.
Absolutely.
And I've gone through a whole process, and you know how I feel about that.
Or a process, as we say in America.
or a process. Sorry, USA.
I got you on that
humble.
One.
Yeah, and...
process.
okay. What I was going to say is that...
And we're done.
Yeah. Need more wine. Hold on. So, the going through that process makes me think that, you know, there's this whole side that is not addressed, that is the clarity piece, which we've talked about many times, but now,
which I've struggled with
myself. And I, of course, believe in the exercises of taking that time of getting uber clear, understanding your values. What do you believe? How are you articulating that? There's this whole series of conversations that need to happen in between to sort of get you to that point, which I think get glossed over really fast because we're stressed.
And we're not having those conversations with ourselves, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is where's your critical thinking? Really, critical thinking is about having a conversation with yourself.
Oh, I love that. That's really good.
It's really not about, you know, conversing with everybody else in the world. It's about getting clear about what your conversation is.
Which is also sort of tied to, do you even know who you even are? I think we all sort of, like, it's a fast-paced world out there, and we're all struggling to make it work, and so I kind of feel for people who are just, like, you know, going through the motions and jumping through the hoops. Like, I kind of get that. But on the other side of that, and I kind of, that's that conversation, let's park that there. Let's go here for a second, which was, you were talking about your sort of your ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that we sort of focus on what it is that you've developed. And so for instance, this morning, we're running low on battery. We're going to have to wrap this up quickly. This morning you had a moment where you were emotional. Mm-hmm. On the heels of Connect, mm-hmm. thinking about your ambassadors and the time that you weren't able to give to them. Mm-hmm. Talk quickly about why that matters to you.
Oh, God, you're going to make me cry.
Good. Yay, Barbara Walters moment.
You know, when you're putting together events and you're working with, you know, our company does a lot of different things. You know, I'm dealing very much on a daily basis with some bigger brands, you know, a lot of bigger relationships with multiple people. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, sometimes you sit back and you reflect on, you know, when you get that many amazing people into one place at one time and you're dealing with them on a one-to-one level, you know, at the end of the day, I sat back and I was just like, not only did we have a good event, but, you know, I felt like I wasn't able to spend enough time with each of my ambassadors to really be able to tell them, you know, how amazing each one of them are and how, mm-hmm. and what a gift they are to, you know, to Inman, but, you know, what they bring, as individuals, because each one of them is so uniquely individual. And I'm not just talking about, you know, this year. I mean, I'm talking about last year and, you know, the year before that. I mean, I've been with Inman for 2 years. I've now done, I think, 4 Connects. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it never ceases to amaze me that, you know, we have these amazing people that are doing so many amazing things with their businesses, mm-hmm. and within their own local communities. And we bring them from Canada and Australia, and we bring, and they help me so much, mm-hmm. that once we get on site, the irony of it is that I almost spend less time with them on site than I do, you know, in the digital space. Mm-hmm. So I think that was, you know, that's something that always happens emotionally for me, where I'm just kind of like, it's not just missing them, but it's missing having the chance to have as many moments with them as I wish I'd been able to have to really tell them. So, you know, I'm working on, that's a challenge for me, working on finding other moments.
I believe that's a challenge for everyone in the digital age. Is like, I mean, we're spending time together, but we're still getting stuck in our phones. Yeah. And that's just sort of where we are in this world. And I think it's important that we learn to sort of say, okay, that's there, focus, invest, which is, but that takes, like you said, a very conscious effort and intention.
It does. Yeah. And again, it takes a little bit of critical, like, you know, and what came out of that was that I actually sat back and I said, okay, you know what? I need to apply some critical thinking to the way that I'm being intentional about reaching out to my ambassadors. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't look at them as a group. I have to look at them as individuals. And, you know, the irony of that is that I just came off an event where we're talking about how to be better service providers and create better customer experiences, mm-hmm. for our clients in the real estate space. But I'm sitting here coming back going, you know, the irony is not lost on me that I feel like my takeaway is I want to create better ways for me to keep in touch with my tribe, my people, and continue to build our community.
I happen to know that your ambassadors think you are the bomb and absolutely adore you and completely forgive whatever you weren't able to give them this time. But I do think that it's interesting, and I applaud you for being the wonderful, vulnerable, lovely person that you are, to look at where could I have done better.
Right.
And I think all of us in the industry, like, that's what it's a constant battle and challenge, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're all looking to, how can we actually improve? What have we learned? How can we iterate? All of those things. And
it's a lot all at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we should wrap it up and drink more wine.
I think we should wrap it up and drink more wine, too. We have the winery to ourselves now, by the way.
Exactly. It's shutting down.
Like, it's quiet. It's nice. There's nobody here. We're going to get busted.
I want to thank you for having this very important conversation.
Thank
that does
you.
Matter.
Yeah.
And how can people find you if, for whatever reason, they live under a rock and don't know who you are?
At the best hair in RE.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
At the best hair in RE. Or at Laura Monroe on Twitter.
Yeah.
Laura Monroe on Facebook.
laura@inman.com via email.
That's She's kind of the bomb. Check her out, guys.
So sweet.
I love you. Love you.